I've put up this slide to draw your attention to a wonderful poetic lecture performance that Ariya recently gave when there was a solo exhibition of her work at the Sculpture Center in New York City. So people interested to hear how Ariya herself talks about her work, and talking about her work and writing about her work is very much a part of her practice. I would urge people to seek out this particular video. And I put it up here along with a quote of a long and very intriguing conversation that she did around the time of that exhibition with the artist Raghrit Theeravanit, to highlight the point that in the way that Ariya talks and writes about her work, she very much emphasizes singularity as the value with which to recognize her practice, and also to recognize and try to understand the mode of feminine becoming with which her practice is intertwined. So in this conversation with Raghrit, there's one point where the conversation turns to the can of worms, which is the word feminism, and whether that's applicable or not to her practice. At one point, she says to Raghrit that what's difficult is to keep the sweet voice with an aggressive message. Ariya is very consistent in this performative move that she makes, the way that the word feminism is simultaneously raised and erased. Comments such as the one here to deny in a complex way feminism as a label, without perhaps necessarily denying feminism as a practice, or at least that's raised as a very big question in terms of engaging with her work. This is the problematic that her practice raises. So it's this move that she makes, this sort of raising and erasure of the word feminism, that I think is a central problematic to grapple with in terms of thinking about her work and in terms of responding to them. And I'd also like to note here that this is the sort of performative move that comes from an artist who so crucially uses the written and spoken form as part of her practice, who very infamously wrote a series of texts in Thailand published in a mainstream news magazine where she ventriloquizes and satirizes the pretensions of the male artist. So in terms of her public profile, the way that she gained visibility in Thailand as a public figure was slightly less as somebody who did print and sculpture work, and more as somebody who wrote this infamous series of articles, which then became a book. And the book is titled Pom Pen Silapin. Pom is a pronoun in the Thai language which signals I in the male form. So the book is titled I in the male form and am an artist. So that's just an example of the way that Ariya is an artist who speaks for her practice and who lays down the terms for engaging with her art as, in the first instance, opening of the spectator's self towards an ethics of the singular. And I'd also like to note here this question of the word feminism and what to do with it in relation to Ariya's practice as perhaps something also something that resonates with a number of the works and the practices of other artists working in Southeast Asia today. People I can think of, such as the Vietnamese artist Nguyen Trinh Ty, who had an exhibition at DART here a couple of years ago, a work called Letters from Panduranga, in which it's an essay film which explores in a very self-reflexive, a poetic and complicated way, the mythology of the locality of an area in Vietnam, the mythology of its pre-national past as one which has a matriarchal root. So it's interesting to place Arya in relation to the works of Nyen Trinh Ti around this question of the an interest in the question of the feminine, an interest in the question of the matriarchal deep past of a place in which these artists are practicing, perhaps also a practice that we can call a kind of feminism in practice, whereby the artists themselves very much explicitly reject the label feminism as a term. So to me, Arya's practice speaks as a kind of practice which tells you that there's no need to write or speak about Arya, the artist, and her work in order to represent, include, or to classify. But at the same time, there's an implicit and a formidably teasing invitation to use the work in the practice, to do something with it. And I think this is the challenge that she throws down to spectators of her work, what to do with this practice, how to use this practice, and how to use my work when there is no need to enunciate by classifying or representing what this work is. I'm now going to zoom in on two series of moving image works in particular, which is particularly gripping to me as possible tools for making, creating, making up an art historical genealogy. And what interests me about these two series, the earlier one titled The Two Planets series and a later one titled Village and Elsewhere, is the way that Arya more explicitly takes on the role of the assembler in these series of works, and the way that her bodily presence in the frame begins to become the one with her back fully turned to the camera. The quote I've put up here is Arya's very beautiful and precise story about why she began to make this work. So I'll just give you time to quickly read through the quote, and then I'll show a clip from Two Planets. How quick is your speed reading? We done? We're ready to watch? Okay, so Two Planets is a, in its fullest form, it's an installation consisting of four screens, also with still photographic images. The one I'm going to show you is Two Planets, Van Gogh's Midday Sleep and Thai Villages, and I'm going to show you the last 4 or 5 minutes or so of this work. I need help. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
เจ้าหญิงควรพี่ล้วนแต่รอย
That's not it.
ข้าวพออี้มันก็ดีใส่ดีสาได้นะครับแต่ว่าเป็นของข้าว
So then Arya follows the Two Planets series with another one called Village and Elsewhere, which is a video showing a monk in northern Thailand delivering a raucous sermon to a group of children and women of a certain age, with Arya herself sitting with her back turned to the camera amongst this unruly and seemingly gullible crowd and a few dogs that come in and out of the frame. So as his prop, the monk has two enlarged gold frame reproductions of Jeff Koons and Artemisia Gentileschi's paintings. And the left to right juxtaposition of the two reproductions in this sermon setting becomes an event for the monk to establish very dodgy causality between the two works for a highly comical purpose of affirming the Buddhist precept of thou shall not commit adultery. So in this video, it's a dialogic sermon that really energetically and very insouciantly changes shape, direction, and color. Anything and everything comes into the space and the duration of this performance. So the monk and the crowd here, they go from discussing the state of the pony's teeth in Jeff Koons' painting to imagining Europeanness via these images. People make casually offensive remarks about homosexuality here, and then they go to discussing when it is that one would give and eat cake. The enframing of this work blurs a distinction between the performer and the audience, between the maker of the work and the spectator. And the speakers here, they speak as intercessors, and this really takes pride of place in these two series of works by Araya. So the intercessors, their place here, it's a place of wild agency to make and to pervert meaning. And it's a place that constantly swaps around between the monk, between the kids, between the grannies. In this video, the dogs are the only beings that don't get to speak. But then again, what they get to do is they make and unmake the rectangularity of this frame as they please in the way that they move in and out of the frame. So what we get here is a work whose enframing and the situation that it creates, it becomes a kind of network aesthetics that brings into contact otherwise incommensurable worlds. So these two series, Two Planets and Village and Elsewhere, planted a thought in me that one way to use Araya's work is to fictionalize an art historical lineage and to write a route of art history that goes by the way of conceptualizing media theory. So building up tools for writing art history via grasping the proximity of contemporary media and very old media. I think I'm going to ask for the light to come down for this image. Thank you. So one possibility it raises in my mind is to place Araya's moving image works within a story of animistic cinema. This image I've called up here is taken by an artist, a young artist, very talented, called Tanachai Bandarsak, at a site of a film projection as animistic transaction. The site itself is called the site in which resides Djalpo Modindang. So Djalpo Modindang is a spirit. It's a quote-unquote sacred site on the grounds of Konkan University in the northeast of Thailand. Anecdotally interesting because it's the place where the artist Apichatpong Weerasethakun, that was where he studied and where he graduated from. This site is charged with supernatural power for making desired things happen. So what goes on this site is people turn up, they make a pledge to this spirit of a kind of syncretic religion, Buddhist or animist religion. That's the everyday form of spiritual practice in much of Thailand. They turn up, they want something, they want to pass their exams. They ask the spirit to make it happen, and in return, these askers then have to host a film projection event as a form of paying back to the Djalpo. This is a residue of a mobile movie practice in circulation in Thailand since the mid-20th century. So it was at this point that what happened in Thailand was that the mobile cinema apparatus got remediated within this very old media form of animistic ritual practice, making an offering to the gods, organizing and hosting entertainment as an entertainment addressed to the gods, not to corporeal human beings. So in what sense is this sort of practice a media form? So in temporal terms, as ritual events, these shows took place in sync with a calendar of cosmic time. So for instance, a film troupe might be engaged to put on a show to give thanks to the goddess of rice after the harvest, or to accompany the passage of the dead into another life cycle. That sort of auspicious temporality then come together with supernaturally charged space to create a kind of site-specific place of practice, the site specificity of the ritual live movie show. And these would have been and have a residual presence as shows that are votive offerings, giving thanks to the spirit, making good on a promise in a spiritual transaction, or to placate a supernatural being. So these are shows that have to take place in predetermined sites, locations of spirit shrines, temple grounds, or a location charged with the presence of the spirit of place who make an anterior claim to that site. What's very intriguing to me about these ritual shows is the way that they complicate existing models of spectatorship. So the spirits to whom these shows is an offering had to have been present as the non-corporeal counterpart of human spectators. the shows are addressed to their expectation of being offered the show, yet these spirits are neither visibly embodied, nor can they be said to constitute a similar kind of vanishing perspectival point as the one that underscores, in film theory, the one that underscores the psychoanalytic model of the spectator subject, which is itself influenced by the model of spectatorship that comes from this Renaissance conception of where the spectator is outside of the frame. Animistic ritual transaction necessitated a whole host of intercessors, most obviously the mediums, to channel communication and make contact with the spirits. Within the history of Thai cinema as a kind of history of an other cinema, the practice of remediation of cinema as part of the circuit of animistic transaction gave pride a place to two types of intercessors: the projectionists, who make the show happen for the spirits, and the voice performers, who basically turn cinema projection into a kind of live performance. The fictionalizing link that I think I'm trying to establish, shuttling from this history of the remediation of mobile cinema in relation to Ariya's moving image work, is that juxtaposing the two together encourages me to pay attention to the logic of assemblage in Ariya's work, and also to other elements, namely the screen within the screen drawing attention to the space of the installation situation. The way that her moving image works subversively repeat ritual duration, and also the place of the unruly intercessors in her video installations. So where I am with this material at the moment is to simply observe an affinity between her practice and animism in this sense, when animism becomes redefined, created as a concept which addresses the question of, or animism becomes a concept in the sense that the way that I'm thinking about it at the moment is that it's an intermediate ground for artistic creation and aesthetic experience. And in that sense, to write an art history rooted through places in which animism has a long and deep history, you put together contemporary works with animism not as figure in the work, in the frame, but actually as that which roots and which provides the ground for specific kinds of aesthetic experience. Okay, it's 4:45. I think I'm going to stop, hand over to Annika, and if we have time, we might show the last video, which I was going to show, but maybe let's leave it and do your talk first.
Thank you, May. We're going to have a further conversation after Annika. So here I introduce Annika Fullman. She's going to talk about Ariya Labdhanam Suk's work in a queer feminist analysis of the contemporary Thai art context, and she's focusing on from the work from the 1997 until mid-20s and 2000s, and videos about the intimacy and exchange with the dead. Would partly actually see a clip a little bit in the May's presentation, but Annika will talk about deeply investigating about that work. And welcome, Annika. Annika is an interdisciplinary scholar currently working at Cornell University Department of Asian Studies, who explored the intersection of Southeast Asia's aesthetics and political modernities. Her book, Ghostly Desire, Queer Sexuality and Vernacular Buddhism in Contemporary Thai Cinema, you can find out in the desk outside. So welcome, Anika, and we'll have the conversation afterward together. Thank you.